When it comes to retirement, there are many misconceptions that can be incredibly detrimental to folks in the future and also difficult to recover from. On today's show, we clear up the confusion and help you avoid making missteps on your way to and through retirement. Stay tuned.
Welcome in to Your Retirement with Sam Dunes.
Welcome once again to Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, and in studio for Dual Financial Strategies is Sam Dual, Andy Schooler, and Luke Van Abel. And it's always a pleasure to be with you each and every week. And for you, our audience, as well, as the you have to know that it is all about your retirement. It is not a cookie-cutter proposition. And they've got offices, Dual Financial Strategies does, in Appleton and in Green Bay. And remember, their phone number is 866-203-7486. That'll become salient information a little bit later on. But first, we're going to talk about offering off generalizations and misconceptions about retirement. You can really set yourself up for a dangerous and rocky detour along that road to retirement. So Sam, Andy, and Luke are going to clear up any confusion and dive into a few common financial planning misconceptions to avoid on your journey to a successful retirement. And that's awful important. And so, Sam, you're going to tackle retirement misconception number one, and that is how much you'll spend and how fast you'll spend it in your retirement. Because I think that's a real question mark, isn't it, for a lot of folks, because they've never done this before. And yeah, they've got a lot of time on their hands. And as you and I have talked about before, the number one fear as people enter retirement is, will we run out of money?
Yeah, that's for sure. And will we run out of money has been the number one fear forever, but ever since I've been doing this. So that's the biggest concern people have. And for some reason, and Chuck, I can't explain these, what we would call industry favorite rule of thumbs that they come up with.
Yeah.
There are so many of these in the financial industry where they're just silly. It's nonsense. It's like this arbitrary number that somebody somewhere at some point in time picked out of the air, and now everybody goes with it. And one of the ones that is most silly, and I think in a lot of cases can be absolutely dangerous, is this rule of thumb of doing a 4% withdrawal over the years. So basically, it's just saying that, hey, you're going to be making systematic and regular withdrawals from your retirement accounts. That's going to coincide with life expectancy. They use this arbitrary rate of return. And then all of a sudden, they magically say, well, you should be withdrawing 4% a year. Well, it's weird and wrong on several different fronts. And it opens up quite a few challenges. That being, it's just strictly arbitrary. There's no basis in reality. There's no basis in actual retirement income or retirement withdrawal strategies. There's no basis in anything. It's just something someone made up. It's as silly as the one that, you know, that Sue Zorman dreamt up one time that said you got to have $1 million to retire, which is just, it's just dumb. It's just talk show stuff. So here's what you need to do. Rather than just saying, oh, well, the industry says 4%, so therefore it's 4%, that rule is used by lazy advisors. That rule is used by product salespeople, by financial product salespeople that don't do planning, that don't actually look at things. They just stick you into something that they feel the company wants them to sell and then say, well, it's a rule of thumb of 4%. It's just as silly as the rule of 100, where you're supposed to subtract your age from 100 and somehow that miraculously gives you what exposure you should have in percentages to stocks and bonds. Here's what you need to do. Rather than working with a generic advisor using arbitrary, outdated, and old-fashioned formulas, you need to be looking at comprehensive, customized plans to you. You can only do that today with the comprehensive software that advisors at a high level like Dual Financial Strategies run. Things like Riskalyze that get down into the details of exactly what you own, exactly what your emotional levels are, exactly what your risk tolerance and risk capacity is, and then allows us to construct the proper retirement portfolio for you based upon what you need, based upon what your goals and dreams are, and not some willy-nilly silly number that somebody made up somewhere where they're going to try to pound you into a square hole when you're a round peg.
Absolutely true, because there are so many different factors, aren't there, Sam? Like your spend rate. What do you really want to do in retirement? And that's different for different people. And so to say that you could assign a percentage or a total amount of money is ludicrous.
Plus, it changes. We talk about this all the time. We have the three stages of retirement that we talk about. They usually run in about 10-year periods, has been my observation. But the first period is the go-go years. The second period is the slow-go years. And the third period is the no-go years. Well, to just come out off the bat and say, well, this is an arbitrary 4% number that you're going to spend, it makes zero sense if you actually stop and think about it, because it doesn't equate itself to a lifetime income plan. It doesn't equate itself to what your retirement's going to look like generationally from a decade perspective as you progress through this thing we call retirement. You need customized, you need comprehensive, you need regular checkups, and most of all, you need a dual financial strategies that focuses only on your retirement and your hopes and dreams.
Absolutely true. Now, Andy, you've got misconception number two, in that some people believe you can live off less in retirement than you did while you were working. And that is a common misconception. And tell us why.
Well, it's interesting today. I mean, people are living longer and longer and longer. And if you think that one of you is not going to live well into your 90s, you're mistaken. It is a high probability. And it's also the medical community's job to keep you going. So
think about the people you know in your circle that are 90 years old.
Yep. And aging parents, et cetera, et cetera. This is a real situation that we have to contend with. So based on the fact that people are living longer and longer and more vital within retirement than ever before, your chances of spending less in retirement are, I mean, quite honestly, who wants to live on less? You get used to the lifestyle that you get used to when you're working, and maybe there's going to be some ancillary things that are different, right? You're not going to be perhaps commuting to a job, and based on how costly gas is right now, yeah, you probably are going to save some money there. You may not eat out as much, but you're going to have a lot more time on your hands. What are you going to do to fill that up? Are you going to travel? Are you going to golf? Are you going to garden? Are you going to visit grandkids, family, take international trips? The list is long, and now that you have 2,500 extra hours of time, that usually comes with a cost, because you're going to need to entertain yourself. So I think the real thing that you have to identify pre-going into retirement is, how much does your lifestyle cost before retirement? What is going to be different? Are you having any homework done that, you know, roofs replaced before you stop working? Or is that going to be something that you're going to have to contend with in retirement? Major projects like around the house, boilers and repairs that need to go on, cars that are going to need to be replaced at some point in time. So we have to think about these expenditures. Your life doesn't necessarily change a great deal going from working to retirement for most people. And therefore, your cost of living is not going to go down excessively. But that is the mantra that we've heard for so long. Oh, don't worry, you'll be in a lower tax bracket. You know, you're going to make less money, or you're going to whatever. I mean, that's just not what we see. Every day when we talk to people, you are wanting to maintain that lifestyle. In some cases, the first 10 years is probably going to be more costly for you, because you feel good. You're going to feel better in those 10 years probably than you do in your 80s and 90s. So we have to consider that the first 10, 15 years of your retirement can be, in some cases, more expensive just from a quality of life perspective. And then where the expense comes in later on is typically healthcare. So those are all parts that we have to deal with.
Yeah. And then quickly, Luke, retirement misconception number three is underestimating how long you're going to live. I think Andy touched on that a bit.
Yeah, Andy touched on that a little bit. But of course, you know, we sit with a lot of people, and, you know, people come in and they say, well, I'm only going to live this long, or I'm only going to live that long. Now, some of this is personalized if you've got a health condition or something like that, but the average, just the average, that means a bunch of people are going to live shorter, a bunch of people are going to live longer. According to Social Security Administration, the average male today who's 65 years old is going to live until 84.3 years old, and the average woman who's 65 today will live until just over 86. So aside from these averages, you know, because as I mentioned, some people are going to live less than this, some people are going to live longer than this. One in four, 25% of people 65 years old today are going to live past 90. Past 90, Chuck, and 10% of folks 65 and older will live beyond 95. So many people set an estimate, you know, that's much too early when they're planning for retirement. And we, from a planning perspective, would rather err on the side of living longer, because now you're not running out of money. If you're planning to live until 80 and you live to 85, well, whoops. So the takeaway here from this segment is that, you know, retirement is lasting longer than ever. You need to prepare with a comprehensive plan that involves exploring many different options. It's not so much about the net worth, but your income. Where's that income going to come from? Maybe it's exploring some guaranteed lifetime income options, and also anticipating the higher costs, the medical expenses that are coming down the road. That also could be why you don't spend less in retirement, because things are going to get more costly and those medical expenses can creep up as well.
Absolutely. I know three people myself personally that are way over 90 and they're still very, very vibrant, just as dual financial strategies can be for you, right, Sam?
Absolutely. And that's very true, Chuck. Both parts of it are true. I think we're becoming more aware of life expectancy and the advanced life expectancies that people are experiencing. But I have to tell you, and I can speak for myself and for Andy and for Luke and for Lake, we still visit with folks every day that say, well, you know, I'm going to be lucky to make it into my 70s. I'm going to be lucky to make it to whatever. And you just don't know those things. You cannot go into retirement with that attitude and have a financial advisor have any hope in planning for you, because we have to work off of realistic numbers. We have to work off of the reality as the world exists today. And as I've commented many times before, you know, just because my uncle, who was a raging alcoholic, crashed into a tree and died when he was in his 60s, that doesn't mean my life expectancy is 60 according to my family's behavior. So let's look at you as a person, as an individual. Let's look at you as a couple. If you have a partner, you're married. And let's make sure that the retirement lifestyle that Dual Financial Strategies is going to help you craft is the one that's right for you and not the one that someone has been told to put you into because of a company's agenda.
Absolutely. So that retirement lifestyle review that Sam is referring to can be yours at no cost, no obligation when you sit down and speak with them, either at their Green Bay office or their Appleton office at 866-203-7486. Make that phone call right now, 866-203-7486. Sit down with Sam, Andy, or Luke and discuss your retirement at either the Appleton office or the Green Bay office here, and you'll be happy that you did, because they've got close to a quarter century of helping a lot of people in retirement planning. Sam, what's coming up next? I guess we're going to continue on the same theme, right?
Yeah, we are, Chuck. Coming up, we're going to finish off this list of dangerous financial planning misconceptions, and we're going to share the key to eliminating ambiguity from your retirement planning journey. We'll be right back.
Thanks for joining us each and every week here on Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, along with our full studio of financial planning experts, retirement planning experts, and fiduciaries named Sam Duell, Andy Schooler, and Luke Van Abel. Duell Financial Strategies, and as we said, close to a quarter century of helping people in the Fox Valley from one of two offices, Green Bay and in Appleton. And they can help you with that retirement lifestyle review when you call 866-203-7486. And we all know that the fear of the unknown is all too common. So when your financial plan comes due and you're thinking about retirement, there should be no generalizations about it. And with that said, we're going to continue with our list of common misconceptions and maybe some questions here about it. We've got two more misconceptions, Sam, and the first one is yours, because I think you probably run into people who think that they won't be working past 65, and maybe they're scratching their heads as to how long they will work.
Yeah, it's an emotional decision, because this is a very, very major event in most people's lives. So for some reason, and I believe that this is probably fed by the industry, it's fed by media, it's fed by a lot of different things, but we believe that there's just this metaphorical line in the sand. And when we cross that, we're going to retire, whether that be 62, 65, 67. You know, Social Security probably plays into this a little bit, Chuck, because of the different ages at which you can take Social Security. That kind of starts to give us this metaphorical line that we're crossing. But it couldn't be any further from the truth. You're not necessarily going to cross over the line of 65 and never return to work again. It just isn't the case for many people. In fact, for folks born 1960 or later, the full retirement age, in order for you to receive what we consider your full benefit from Social Security, that's now 67. It's not 65 years old. And according to an EBRI retirement confidence survey, 41% of Americans surveyed said they plan to continue working past 65 for whatever reason, you know, whether it's because they need to, whether it's because they want to. But this is a stark contrast from the results of a survey that was performed in 1991. So 30 years prior, where only 11% of people reported that they intended to work past 65. Now, one of the things that has changed in the last 30 years is pensions. People do not have a pension to fall back on anymore. They're very, very rare. They're essentially non-existent in the private sector, and they're becoming increasingly rare in the medical sector and in the service sector where they have typically flourished at. So things have changed. I guess that's what we would tell you most of all. Things have changed, friends, and things are going to continue to change and evolve. My goodness, the changes I've seen just in this industry and the way it operates in the last 24 years that I've been doing it. You know, Chuck, when I started doing this 24 years ago, so that would have been 2000, I remember, because I keep pretty close track of numbers and where people come from and stuff, I can remember that back in that time frame, when I tracked the average age of people that were coming in to visit with me, it was about 70 or 71 years old. That's how old, but that's what the age is for most people. And interestingly enough, that trend has now reduced itself to probably 10 years. A lot of people that we have coming in right now are between the ages of like 59 and 62. So just like we've seen this trend in the survey, we've seen the same thing in real life in our practice, where the age of people coming in to talk about retirement or to start to initiate the process of retirement is getting lower and lower. But just remember that the timing of your retirement doesn't need to meet any societal standards. It doesn't need to meet any old outdated rule of thumbs. The timing of your retirement should be based on what's best for you. What's best for your family? What do you need to do? What do you want to do? It's the pace, not the race, that matters here.
Absolutely true. And I suppose, Andy, that another misconception is, how much money are you going to pay in taxes in retirement? Because Sam just said something very interesting. I didn't realize that the people that were in their early 70s visited with him years ago, as opposed to being 10 years younger today. And I think that if you're in the 70s back then, if you were in your 70s, it was a little bit too late to think about how you were going to mitigate taxes. But we have this opportunity with this program to help people out if they do it at a younger age now.
Well, the sooner that we can certainly get on top of taxes is the better for you. I think tax planning is often overlooked in this industry, especially because you'll hear advisors say, I'm not a tax professional. You need to talk to your tax professional. But there's no follow up. There's no coordinated effort between your tax professional and your financial advisor. And I think that's a huge detriment. We have a pretty substantial amount of tax information. Now, we're not CPAs. We're not tax planners, but knowing and understanding how taxes work is really important to having a successful retirement. It may mean the difference between when you start taking money out of those qualified accounts, IRAs, your 401ks, 403bs, 457, that's all going to convert to an IRA. So then at 73, you're forced to take money out, called your required minimum distribution, because the government wants their fair share. And let me tell you, they make sure and track all of that stuff, so they know how much that you need to pay them. And if you don't get that money out, they are going to come after you with some pretty strong penalties if you don't. So the part of retirement planning that has to deal with taxes may be, in fact, turning on some of that money prior to getting to 73 so that you can pay taxes during a known tax environment. Now, again, we're a little bit up against a wall right now because we don't know what the tax environment's going to be after 2025. That's when the current laws are set to expire, or sunset is what they call it. And so consequently, we have these question marks that are kind of floating out there in the air as to what's going to happen. But if you do have time, you do have the option to sit down with somebody like us and talk to us about where you're at right now in retirement, or if you haven't retired yet, how do you plan and how do you reduce possibly the tax implications that you could find yourself in later on? Because you're right, you can't really unring the bell. I mean, you'll hear people talk about doing Roth conversions, et cetera, except for that should not be done just willy-nilly. That should actually... you should sit down and really spend some time evaluating and looking at that if that's something that someone is bringing up to you. If you don't really have the savings on the side to pay those taxes, then those taxes are going to be paid out of the money that comes from that account. Well, how long did it take you to put that money together? How long is it going to take you to recoup the amount of taxes that you just paid out of that account? So there's a lot of different things that we have to take into address with that situation. So taxes is no simple deal, and the sooner, again, that you can get a handle on it, the better for you and your family.
Don't remind me is all I'll have to say, because guess what? I turn that golden age of 73 next January, so I'm going to be considering all of that, and I am right now. So, Luke, let's talk about these misconceptions. What do you see the most? Do you see people thinking they're going to work past 65 and how they deal with their taxes? Do you see that?
Yeah, I think we see a lot of these. I think there's almost a snowball effect, too, because many people think, well, they're going to need a lot less than they actually do. So as we start talking to them, it's like, oh, wait, my lifestyle isn't going to change that much. And then that starts to, you know, have this frame of mind that, hey, well, my taxes are going to be less because they've always told me that I'm going to have less income later on. So therefore, I'm going to have less taxes. But what they're not accounting for is what was Andy was talking about, is that all these retirement accounts, most of the retirement accounts that people have today in their 50s, in their 60s, are pre-tax. That money has never been taxed before. So all that money is not yours, unfortunately. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you've bequeathed some of that already to Uncle Sam in the form of taxes. So not planning for taxes in retirement is probably the biggest misconception out there, because it's the one that you have the most control over. And let's face it, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that went in place back in 2017 is set to sunset next year, December 31st of 2025. So what do you think personally is going to happen with tax rates? Do you think you're going to get a discount again? Do you think it's going to go down? Or do you think, like most of the families that we talk with, and Sam, Andy, and myself, think that tax rates are likely to go up? Well, that means tax rates are on sale today. So doing something now, because we got a shot clock going, you don't have too much longer before things are likely going to change. So, you know, doing nothing about taxes is probably the biggest issue people have today.
Absolutely. And as we wrap this segment up, Sam, I've got a couple of questions for you. You think some of these misconceptions stem from how folks saw their parents retire? Because I don't know. It's like apples and oranges, it seems to me. And then how would people benefit from dual financial strategies giving a comprehensive financial plan?
You know, Chuck, I think some of these misconceptions probably stem more from just the information that's put out on retirement today. I think that's where a lot of it comes from. And I think it also stems from the industry's tendency, and I don't know why this is, but I've noticed this forever, the industry's tendency to be literally 20 years behind the times, 10 years behind the times at least. I mean, we face this every day with these ambiguous withdrawal accounts, with this rule of 100 thing. We see this all the time, Chuck, where so many people in our industry, so many of our competitors are literally stuck and talking about things that had relevance 15 years ago, but that are no more relevant in a modern retirement planning scenario today than anything at all. So I think that's a part of it, is basically just really, really bad information that's out there. And the way that we combat that is to just live in today's world. We look around, we pay attention. We see the people that are visiting us. And more importantly, we listen to what you're telling us. And then we plan to that. We do not plan to an agenda. We do not plan to a product sale. We do not plan to the revenue sharing agreement of the person that the company that we're working for that dictates which mutual funds we're going to sell more of and which we're going to sell less of. We don't have any of those pressures on us at all. We're able to work directly for you, plan for you, and do what's right for you, because we know that's what you want. You just want somebody to have your back, to treat you fair, and to tell it to you the way it is and help you fix it and go on down the road.
Absolutely true. And that's where that retirement lifestyle review comes in that Sam's alluding to with their experience at Dual Financial Strategies of helping people all over the Fox Valley. All you have to do is pick up the phone and make this phone call of 866-203-7486 and sit down and get that no cost, no obligation sit down with Sam, Andy, or Luke and just see what they can do for you, because I think you will prosper in terms of your outlook on retirement and your preparation for retirement. And you won't have any of these misconceptions floating all over and kind of derailing your retirement plans of the future, because it's all about your retirement. It's not a cookie-cutter approach at all at Dual Financial Strategies. So give them a call, 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. Now we're back here in our final segment of Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, happy to be sitting in with Sam Duell, Andy Schooler, and Luke Van Abel of Duell Financial Strategies. And remember, you can get that no cost, no obligation retirement lifestyle review when you make the phone call at 866-203-7486. And as you know, here in the Fox Valley, Dual Financial Strategies has two offices, one in Appleton and one in Green Bay. Well, we've got four questions here from various and sundry listeners in the area. So, Sam, I think you're ready to tackle the first one, aren't you?
I'll give it a whirl.
All right, let's go to Matthew in Suamico, who wants to know, can I take out my principal if needed from my Roth 401k, since it is after-tax dollars?
Well, that's it's a great question, Matthew, one that we don't hear too often from people. And the simple answer to it is yes. You can withdraw the initial investment, your principal, or what we would call your basis, from your Roth account. Now, the only caveat to this, Matthew, would be, what type of withdrawal rules and restrictions might exist within your company's plan that you would need to explore. But from a tax exposure scenario, or even an age exposure scenario, you are not restricted to having to keep that original balance in there. The only restriction on withdrawal from a Roth account in regards to either age limitations or what you can take is only on the growth. Anything that you've put in there yourself, your after-tax dollars, can be removed at any point in time for any purpose that you choose. But if it's inside of a company-sponsored plan like a 401k or a 403b, you will need to check with your plan administrators to see if they have any withdrawal restrictions on that type of an account. We find that most don't, Matthew. Most of them are pretty, you know, cognizant of the fact that this is your money, and they allow that. The one restriction you might run into is if there was a match on it. But technically, that match would be considered growth because it wasn't your money that went into it. So it would probably be restricted from withdrawal to begin with without penalty. But check with your administrator. Make sure you're working with your tax preparer on something like that. But I would say that in the vast majority of instances, the answer to your question is yes.
All right. There's the expertise, Sam Duell, 866-203-7486. And they can answer questions for you. And Andy, here's one from Sean in De Pere, who says, my advisor with a well-known company has my retirement portfolio in 20 or more funds. 30% of it is in ETFs, four cash funds, but it's very confusing to me. They claim to be a fiduciary. The money's safe, but returns given this year at 4.9% have not been good enough, in my opinion. Now, I'm 65 years old. My spouse is 64. So I just want to know if my portfolio spread across too many funds. Is there too much going on here, given my age?
Hi, Sean. Great question. We see this quite often, and so I don't really know the answer to the question over the microphone, if you will. It would be much more comprehensive to be able to sit down and kind of look at what the actual play is that they're trying to make. So as far as, I don't know if 4.9 is a good or a bad rate of return. From my perspective, really what we need to look at and probably answer more clearly is, what do you need your account to do? From
a What's the purpose of it?
Yeah, I mean, what are we trying to solve for, right? And then you can look at it and go, well, if all you need is a 2.7% rate of return to accommodate the needs that you have, great, you made 4.9%, but you don't have to make 4.9%, because when you start bumping up into obviously more speculative places, then you can also find yourself, when the market goes down, for a bumpy ride. So I guess that's really the, you know, what if you don't think 4.9% is enough, then what is it that you're looking for? What do you need your account to do? Again, what is the purpose of that account? And that's where Sam wrote his book, Purpose Determines Placement. What is it that your money needs to do for you? And then that can dictate and determine what tools you actually are going to use. And that will then clarify some of that information. But as far as, is there too many funds? We do see that commonly, where we'll see, I don't know if they're in addition using mutual funds as well. You're saying 30% is an ETF. So that's great. They're more efficient, if you will.
More than, targeted.
Yeah, than more, you know, mutual funds are, and a lot more transparent. But I don't know if the rest of your funds is actually in mutual funds. So that would be something that we'd have to discuss as well. There's 8 fees, 4 of which are stated and 4 of which are not inside mutual funds. And so you could be having a little bit higher fees than you need to. But again, I don't know which and whom you're working with. I don't know what the purpose of the money is. I don't know if 4.9% is a good or a bad interest rate overall. So let's sit down and talk about that stuff, because getting a second opinion certainly isn't going to hurt.
Yeah. Absolutely. And with the mutual funds, I mean, we coined the phrase the illusion of diversification many years ago, where you can have a lot of different mutual funds, but because there's only a certain amount of asset classes you can invest in, I mean, there's literally, last time we checked, more than 17,000 different mutual funds available, but there's only a half a dozen or so asset classes that you can actually invest into. So how do 17,000 funds do, you know, how do 17,000 funds use the same 6 identical asset classes and all be different? You can see where I came up with the phrase, the illusion of diversification, because they cannot be. It's impossible for them to be that. So a good overall evaluation on that thing would be good, Sean. And I would also just state really quickly that we do see this quite often. All of us see this, where people don't believe that their portfolio is quote unquote making enough money. But what happens is, you hear this stuff on the news and it says, oh, the S&P 500 is up, pick a number, it doesn't matter. The S&P 500 is up 10%. And then all of a sudden you're getting your statements and you're up 4.9%. And you're like, well, this doesn't make any sense. The S&P 500 is up 10%. Why am I only up 4.9? Well, you have to go deeper than that. And you have to say, well, wait a minute. Only 40% of your portfolio is exposed to an index like the S&P 500. And 40% of 10 is 4. So how much of that did you capture? And the other 60% is allocated towards probably some type of bonds or something. And in most cases, for the last 3 years, the aggregate bond indexes have been negative. So the one thing that we would caution listeners on, Chuck, is make sure when you're comparing or talking about the return you're getting on your portfolio, you have to. It's absolutely imperative that you be comparing apples to apples. And the only true way to do that is a program like Riskalyze, where we can assign a risk number to these individual portfolios rather than just this arbitrary guessing to say, well, that was up and I wasn't, so therefore I'm not mad, or I'm mad. And it's like, well, if you weren't in that index, then clearly you're not going to be up.
Absolutely. A lot of duplication in some of those index funds, too, as you mentioned. Okay, Luke, Billy, and Menachem wants to know, he's heard a lot of success stories online from people who use bonds and annuities, but he says crypto seems to have made a big splash. So I want to ask, which of these three options would result in my paying the least in taxes?
Hi, Billy. Thanks for the question. Well, from a tax perspective, taxes have more to do with the type of account that you invest them in than the investment themselves. So traditionally, retirement funds, you know, your 401k, your IRA, your 403b, your 457, SEPs, things like that, they benefit from tax deferral. So whether you have bonds, whether you have annuities, whether you have crypto, whether you have stocks in the market, you put that money in, invest it, it doubles, it triples, it goes up 10x, it doesn't matter. The only time you're taxed is when you take that money out. When you take a distribution, you sell some of that and put it in your pocket. Now, if you own assets outside of retirement funds, outside of what we would call qualified retirement accounts, maybe you own a non-qualified account. An example of this would be an individual account or a joint account where you invest outside of like a traditional retirement account, then the taxes are based on the length of time that you've owned that asset. So if you've bought it and sold it within 365 days, then it's considered a short-term capital gain. If you've bought that asset and then sold it more than 365 days later, then it is a long-term capital gain. And then the long-term capital gains have a somewhat favorable tax rate, either 0, 15%, or 20% as of recording this show. So I hope that helps shed some light, Billy, on the tax ramifications. It's not so much about what you own, but the type of an account that you own it in. If you have additional questions, you know where to find us. You can reach out, and we'd be happy to sit down and go over that further with you.
Okay, final question, Mary in Appleton, for you. Sam, you got about 30 or 40 seconds to answer this one. If my company contributes a match to my IRA and I leave a year or two from that company, I know the matching is void, but what happens to the gains from that investment? I'm weighing the pros and cons of opening one through my company or on my own.
It's a good question, Mary, and a really easy and simple answer. The gains are yours. Yes, a company can restrict how much of their match that you would have if you leave in a short period of time. They call that vesting. But any of the gains that you make in the portfolio, those are yours to keep.
All right. So, Sam, again, it's been a wonderful show. But what can we do for our listeners when it comes to approaching retirement successfully?
You know, Chuck, the biggest conversation that we're having with people and the biggest comment that we're getting from people coming in today is that we are providing clarity. We're providing clarity to people on exactly where they're at today, what they have. We're providing clarity on helping them determine what direction they want to go. And even more importantly, we're providing very, very good clarity and simplicity on exactly how to do it. We understand that many of you are contemplating retirement. Many of you are just wanting to know, are you able to retire? Are you in control? And you're looking for an answer, and you're looking for a picture going forward to say, okay, what does this look like? I've never done it before. We will paint that picture for you. We will give you the clarity we need. But more importantly, we will get you to and through the retirement that you look forward to and that you deserve so much.
Absolutely. And that means they are willing and able to give you that retirement lifestyle review that tells you where you are now, where you want to be in retirement, because it's all about your dreams and desires and what you want to do in retirement. It's all about your retirement. So visit one of Dual Financial Strategies' offices, either in Appleton or Green Bay, by giving them a call to make that no-cost, no-obligation appointment with them at 866-203-7486. That is 866-203-7486. And they touched on this earlier. Remember about placement of money? What's the purpose of the money? Well, Sam's written that book into third printing now, called Purpose Determines Placement, and he'll give you a copy of that too when you come in and visit at Dual Financial Strategies and get that retirement lifestyle review. Once again, 866-203-7486. Well, it's been a wonderful show. Sam, what are your final thoughts?
Great show today. We hope it was beneficial for all of you. We want to provide some value to you and some good feelings going into retirement. Give us a call. We appreciate you joining us on the weekends. We look forward to seeing you in person.
Investment advisory services offered through Dual Financial Strategies, LLC, a Wisconsin registered investment advisor. Dual Financial Strategies does not provide legal or tax advice. Investment advisor representatives of Dual Financial Strategies may only conduct business with residents of the states and jurisdictions in which they are properly registered. Insurance and annuity products are sold through Dual Financial Strategies.